Good morning. Great to see you. Time to introduce our two baptismal candidates to you. So Jenny and Julia, come and join me here, okay? I thought we'd stand here because it's a bit safer to stand here than any further back this morning, okay? So we'll not risk that, okay? But when people are getting baptized, and we talk about what it's all about, and we'll explain more about that a little bit later in our service, about why we're doing what we're doing. But I do say to people who are being baptized, do you want to tell us anything about your story? I don't have to do this, because really what we're doing later is an acknowledgement of your faith in Jesus Christ. But I asked both Jenny and Julia if they wanted to say something this morning about what's brought them to this point, and they both very eagerly said yes. So you get a treat this morning hearing something of their journey. So I've got two, they're fairly simple questions, but they're not simple in ways of answers necessarily, are they? So Julia, I'll start with you really, if I'm asking you both the same questions this morning. But you know, just tell us a little bit, if you can, about your journey of faith, just as briefly as you're able to do it. I'll hold on to this for you if you like.
Well, I think I've known the Lord virtually all my life, probably from a child.
Young child, I used to sing
Jesus Loves Me to my sister, and I was quite convinced that Jesus did love me from a child. And we had quite a mixed upbringing, religious upbringing, but we knew the Lord. And as my sister said, it's about time that I got baptized.
Okay. Well, I'll ask you the second question. See, we're talking about that. What, you know, why do you want to be baptized? What's significant about today for you?
Well, it's just really affirming my faith.
Your faith, yeah.
Yeah. To everybody.
Here we go. They're in a very encouraging mood today. There you go. I hope you sense people's encouragement today.
Thank you. A little bit later
in your service. I'll let you sit down, okay? Now, Jenny. Same sort of question, really, just a little bit about your own journey of faith.
Well, I started coming here. I was invited to the Food for Thought, the first course. And from then on, I started coming Sundays. And I met so many lovely people here in the church, some great friends that I've made. Olive I've known for years, and John and Sheila Wilkes took me under their wing. But people were so friendly, and my daughter was going through health issues. But everybody in the church used to say, how's she getting? And they were really interested. They wanted to know how she was doing. The church were praying for her. And she's, you know, she's where she is now because of that. And I come every Sunday and I go home and I think, it's like there's a fly on the wall. I go home and I think, that is so relevant to what's happening. And I spoke to you about it and said, does Charlie ask you, you know, does he feed you information? And you said no. Because it, honestly, you wouldn't believe, and it was too much of coincidence. So I knew that it was God talking to me.
And Charlie definitely never said anything to me. I'm going to go public about that today, all right? But that is how God speaks to us. And that's one of the exciting things about meeting in the way that we do. When we study the Bible, and we open it, and we do that a little bit later in our service, don't be surprised if you hear God speaking to you. So what brings you to today, baptismal day? You're quite excited about today, aren't you?
I am. I've been awake since 5 o'clock.
Fantastic. There you are.
It's for me, it's really the next stage. Mm. I've been coming to church and I know that it's part of God's plan. And to be baptised, that is the way for me.
Brilliant.
To start my life with God.
Excellent. Well, we want to encourage you. Let's give both these guys a... Brilliant. Thank you. Microphone's on, all right? Can you hear me okay this morning? Yes? Great. Brilliant. Good. Well, it's lovely to hear you in such celebration mode today, because for Julia and for Jenny, this is a big, big day for them. It's a big step that they're taking today. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But I wonder, have you ever been inspired by a speech that you've heard somebody give? You know, somebody's given a speech and you feel really moved and you feel that you really want to respond to what you're hearing, and it's kind of really got hold of your spirit and you really want to do something about it. Have you had that experience or not? I definitely wasn't there when Martin Luther King gave this famous speech, which of course contained those immortal words, didn't it? I had a They dream, yes, a dream, an amazing vision to see life in America changing amongst African-American people, a vision which people got hold of and pursued. And of course, in our own lifetime, we have seen President Obama being elected as President of the United States. Again, a very significant point in history. And there are times when famous speeches actually completely change the course of human history. Over the summer, I got a chance to read. I kind of like to read novels normally, but June gave out to me this year. That's an Irish expression. She sort of gave me a bit of a hard time. Roz is laughing because she's Irish, and I come out with these expressions sometimes and people just look at me. But June was saying to me, you really need to read something a bit more serious when you're on holidays. So I got hold of, I said, okay, I will. Boris Johnson's book on Churchill. That's fairly serious reading, isn't it? But it's a remarkable book, actually. I really got hold of it and really enjoyed reading it. Because I sort of discovered again, I suppose, the impact that this man had on the history of this particular country. Quite remarkable, rallying speeches at critical times in the history of this country. And of course, he was famously known for some of his speeches. We shall fight them on the beaches. He seemed to be somebody who had something to say at just the right time that would really rally people and really inspire people and really keep them going at a critical point in time. And powerful speeches have a way, don't they, of changing hearts and minds. And just for a few minutes this morning, I want to look at a very powerful speech that was given in the New Testament. It was given by somebody by the name of Peter. Peter was one of the followers or the disciples of Jesus. And I want you to hear again how this speech ends and what the response was from Peter's speech, because people heard what he was saying and they sensed that God was saying something to them. And look what happens at the end of Peter's powerful speech. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the church on that one day. That would be some baptismal service, wouldn't it? We're baptizing 2 people today. Could you imagine at the end of this service that all of those who are here this morning who are not baptized says, we want to get baptized as well. Well, that would be quite a morning, wouldn't it? Not to say what we would do with people in wet clothes afterwards. But it may be that you're here this morning as a sort of family member or a friend this morning, and you're here because you've been invited to come, but you really don't know too much about what's happening this morning. And you've heard a little bit about Julia's story and you've heard a bit about Jenny's story, and you're here this morning, you're thinking to yourself, what is this all about? This is really strange. These people are going into this tank of water behind me, and hopefully I don't go in there first. But what's it all about? What's happened in their lives that has made such a difference? Well, this speech which Peter gives on the day of Pentecost helps us to understand. Because Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, which in some ways is like the birthday of the church. It was a very significant day when God's Spirit came and the disciples spilled out onto the roads of Jerusalem. And they started talking to people about Jesus. But what was even more remarkable was that they started speaking to people about Jesus in a language which they'd never been taught. Because there were over 1 million people in Jerusalem on that day, and they were all from different countries. And as the disciples spilled out onto the streets of Jerusalem on the birthday of the church, they started talking to people about Jesus in languages which they'd never even learnt. And of course, you know what happens when something strange or unusual takes place? People sometimes, well, they don't know what to make of it, so they make fun of it. So that's exactly what happened on the day when Peter made this famous speech. People turned around and they said, these guys that are from Galilee, this sort of northern region of Israel, they're just, they've had too much to drink. So that's how they explained it away. And maybe that's how some of you feel this morning as you kind of come into a baptismal service like this, and maybe you're not used to being in church, and maybe you're not used to singing some of the songs that we're singing, and maybe you don't really understand what's going to happen here behind me in a few minutes, and it's all a bit strange, it's all a bit unusual, and you're trying to make sense of what's happening. Well, Peter's speech helps us to understand what happens today, as much as it helped people to understand what happened on the day of Pentecost. There is what happened at the end of Peter's speech. Those who accepted his message were baptized. 3,000 people were added to their number by that day. What is it about this speech that Peter gave that people responded in this kind of way at the end of it? Well, let's see if we can work out what it is. If you want to follow some of the speech, I'm just going to read a little excerpt of it this morning. You'll find it in Acts chapter 2. My slides are a little bit behind here, but here we are, page 1093. There are some Bibles in the seats in front of us. You might want to turn to this morning. But I'm going to read just an excerpt from Peter's speech, just to give you a taste of what this speech was all about. And then I want to show you very briefly this morning how Peter's speech on this great feast day in Israel actually helps us to make sense of what's going on today as well. So here we are, it's page 1093, it's Acts chapter 2. And Peter's anointed by God and he stands up. He's had all this kind of abuse, if you like. People have been making fun of what's been going on here. And then Peter stands up, verse 14 in Acts chapter 2 with the 11, and he raises his voice, here's his speech, and he addresses the crowd, fellow Jews, all these people that have arrived into Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, over a million people from all kinds of different countries. Let me explain to you, listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. Why? Because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They haven't had a chance to have a few drinks. Possible. Then he goes on, verse 22. He says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He says, you've seen, you've heard some of the stories about Jesus. Verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of sinful men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. We'll pick up the speech in verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of the fact. Therefore, verse 36, just moving on in the speech, let Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now look what happens next, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, they said, brothers, what are we going to do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. That's what this morning is all about. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is not just for you, but it's for your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. There is a promise in here, according to Peter, that's for every one of us who's here this morning. And with many other words, verse 40, he warned them, he pleaded with them, save yourselves from a world that doesn't acknowledge Jesus, essentially is what he's saying here. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Wow, that's some speech, isn't it? And that's some response at the end of that speech, isn't it? Those who accepted his message, they were moved and they were cut to the heart. And they were saying, what should we do in response to what we've heard and what we've understood? Peter says you need to repent and be baptized. So how does Peter's story, how does Peter's speech, if you like, help us to make sense of what's going to happen in a few minutes for Jenny and for Julia? Well, let me show you fairly quickly this morning, if I can, how Peter's speech helps us to understand a day like today. Here's the first thing. Peter helps us, first of all, by explaining to us and to the people he was speaking to that day who Jesus really is. Here's what he says in his speech. I put it on the screen. People of Israel, listen. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Now, you heard Jenny referring a few minutes ago to Food for Thought. Food for Thought is a course that we run in this church for people who've got questions about the Christian faith. Quite a few of you have been on it. It's a great place to come and ask your questions, because that's how we learn. And over that course, we look at Mark's gospel. It's a very short little gospel in the New Testament, and it's a very exciting presentation of the life of Jesus. And we learn very quickly that Jesus stepped into the history of our world and came with great power and great authority. And here's the kind of things that we were learning on that course, that the people recognized the authority and the power of Jesus because it was something they'd not heard before, something they'd not recognized before. And when Jesus spoke, people stood up and they took notice about what he was saying. So when he taught, people were saying, we've never heard anybody speak with this kind of authority before. And when Jesus healed people, which he did on many, many occasions, people were saying, this is incredible. How does somebody do this in this way? How does somebody have this kind of power and authority? There was a day when he calmed a storm on the Lake of Galilee in the middle of a bunch of hardened fishermen. And they said at the end of the day, who is this guy? Who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So who is this character? And Mark, in his gospel, builds up this idea, a sort of jigsaw puzzle, really, of who Jesus is. He shows us on a number of occasions that Jesus has the power to raise people from the dead. In fact, on one occasion, he raises a little 12-year-old girl from the dead, and we realize in this story that it's as easy for Jesus to raise someone from the dead as it is for you and I to wake up somebody who's gone to sleep. Just check the person beside you. You know, just make sure. That's how it was with Jesus. One word. And this little girl was raised to life again. People were saying, who is this? And then on one occasion, Jesus made it very clear that he had the ability and the authority to forgive people's sins. And people recognized that that was something that only God could do. And Mark's very clear that Jesus is stepping into the history of our world. He comes as God's king into God's world. Which is exactly what Peter says in his speech on the day of Pentecost. Let all Israel be assured that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. Now, I'm sure you'd agree with me that it helps if you want to get to know somebody to get their identity right, doesn't it? It does help to sort of know that you've got the identity sorted. I hope my kids don't mind me telling this story this morning, because usually I ask permission to tell stories, but I forgot to ask on this occasion. But anyway, we'll suffer the wrath afterwards, no doubt. But on our half-term holiday last year, we were down in Eastbourne for a while. This particular book that came out, we're back to books again, and one of my daughters and myself really liked this particular author, and we wanted to get hold of this book. It came out quite quickly, and we could get it quite cheap. And we found out that Asda was selling this book cheaper than anywhere else, so we came into the car and we got out of the car. My daughter was wearing one of these purple, you know, coats with a big sort of fur-lined collar. So you've got the kind of picture in your mind. So she gets out of the car, purple coat, hood up, fur-lined collar. We sort of run into Asda and we lose contact with each other as we're going into the shop door, and I run for the book aisle, and she's there with the purple coat and the hood around it. And so I think, oh, surprise her. So I came up behind her and I put my arm around her like this, and this girl turned to me. You've got it, haven't you? It wasn't my daughter. Not a good move. So much so that my kids are saying, we don't even want to hear this story until we're out of the shop, okay? Very embarrassing, isn't it? You get someone's identity wrong. And Jenny and Julia have recognized who Jesus is. They understand what Peter's doing here on the day of Pentecost. He's explaining to them who Jesus really is. That's the first thing that Peter does. He explains who Jesus is. So as he helps people to understand what's going on this day of Pentecost, this big feast day, he also helps us to understand what's going on today. So first, he helps us understand who Jesus is. Here's the second thing that he helps us to do. He explains to us why Jesus came. Really important to understand this. Here's what Peter says on the day of Pentecost. He says, this man, talking about Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of sinful men, you put him to death by nailing him on the cross. He goes on to say this in the next verse. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I wonder, do you notice what he says in that previous verse, if I go back to it for a moment? This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. I've kind of put it in bold so you can spot it there. I wonder, did you know this, that the very first reference to the death of Jesus in sort of embryonic form is in the first couple of chapters of the Bible? When did you know that? Because Jesus' death wasn't an accident. It was pre-planned from the beginning of time. And Isaiah picks that up 600 years before Jesus was born. And here's how he puts it. He says, speaking about the death of Jesus 600 years before Jesus was even born, speaking about Jesus and the purposes of God, he says, he was pierced for our wrongdoing. That's why Jesus came. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Wow. Peter's helping people to make sense of what's going on. He wants us to understand why it is that Jesus came. It's interesting, when you come to the Gospels, you begin to understand that Jesus had this same understanding about his death. He saw it as something that had to happen. He spoke of it like that. And he also spoke of it in terms of a rescue mission, recognizing that actually there's something that he needs to do for us that we can't do for ourselves. We can't make ourselves right with God. That is something that only God can do for us through the death of Jesus. That's something which Jenny and Julie have understood for themselves. But being rescued is a very humbling experience, isn't it? Ever been rescued? Ever found yourself in a situation where You cannot get yourself out of that situation unless somebody does something for you. It's a very humbling experience. Actually, it's quite embarrassing as well sometimes, depending on what's going on. I've had two experiences in my life where I've had to be rescued. And those of you who've been on Food for Thought course, you've heard my rescue stories already. I'm not going to bore you with the whole stories this morning, but one was on the Blessington Lakes, huge lakes outside Dublin, where I learned to windsurf. I got marooned right in the middle of this lake and had to be rescued. It was very embarrassing, actually, because I thought I could windsurf, but clearly I couldn't. Second one was slightly more humorous, depending on your sense of humour, actually. I got trapped in a toilet in Belfast City Airport. This was very embarrassing. I was kind of late for a flight. I think it was in the year when I was commuting, coming backwards and forwards here that first year. And instead of going into the normal men's toilet, I went into the disabled toilet. I thought I'd get in there quicker, and I closed the door and realised I closed the door. There was no handle on the inside of the door. There was no way out, except for this little hole in the door, where the door handle used to be. So I thought, what am I going to do? So I pulled the emergency cord, thinking, well, someone will come and let me out. Nothing happened. That's not great, is it? So I started shouting through this little hole, help, help, let me out. And eventually somebody came. I think I had to ring the airport help desk, actually, eventually, on my mobile phone and persuade them that I was actually in the airport and could they come to the toilet and let me out. Very embarrassing when they opened the door. It really is not a pleasant experience to be rescued sometimes, is it? But that's what Jesus does for us. In the sense, he does something for us we cannot do for ourselves. We cannot make ourselves right with God. That is something that only Jesus can do for us. That is Jenny's experience. That is Julia's experience. They recognize we cannot earn our way into God's presence. We cannot earn our way to that place where God will accept us. It's not about amassing brownie points. It's about looking at the death of Jesus and saying, thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. You took the place that I deserve and you died in my place. That's what we call the grace of God, isn't it? So here's what Peter's doing is he tries to explain to us what happened on the day of Pentecost. I hope this gives some understanding of what today is all about and what Jenny and Julia's faith is all about. Peter explains to us why Jesus came. He was pierced for our wrongdoing. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. So what does he do? First of all, he explains who Jesus is. He explains why Jesus came. And then, and finally, and thankfully, he explains what it is we need to do. He leaves us in no doubt, does he, at the end of this famous speech, what it is that we need to do. And here's what happens. And the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They've recognized who Jesus is. They've recognized why Jesus came. They've seen that his death on the cross was something that they were partly responsible for. And we are too, in the sense that it's our sin and our wrongdoing and our mistakes that puts Jesus there. They say, what are we going to do? Well, what does Peter say? He says in the next verse, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. He explains what we need to do. I'm glad he does that, actually. I'm glad he doesn't just sort of leave us at that point. Because it might be that for some of us this morning, you kind of get to this point in the service, and maybe some of these bits are sort of falling into place for you. You're beginning to understand, actually, what Jenny and Julia's faith is all about. Why people get excited in this church. Why they get a round of applause when they tell us about their faith. Why Charlie gets a round of applause when he stands up here and tells us about young people that have come to faith in Jesus Christ. We get excited about faith in Jesus in this church, don't we? Yes, we do. What do we need to do? Peter says you need to repent and you need to be baptized. Why? Because, as Peter says in his speech, let all Israel be assured that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. You see, Julia and Jenny have reached that point in their lives where they recognized who Jesus is. They know that Jesus is the Son of God. They know that Jesus has stepped into the history of this world. They know why Jesus came. They know that he came on a rescue mission to rescue them from the consequences of their failures and their mistakes, from a road that leads us eventually to eternal separation from God, a place that the Bible calls hell. And they have done what Peter says in the end of this passage. Repent, and in a few minutes they're going to be baptized in this pool behind me, and you'll see it taking place in front of your very eyes. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So let me ask you this morning, do you recognize who Jesus is? In many ways, today is a celebration of faith, isn't it? Peter makes it very clear as he stands up on the day of Pentecost and says, I want you to know this, and to know in certain allusions, this is Jesus, this is the Son of God, both Lord and Christ. I wonder if you recognize why Jesus came. I tell funny stories about rescue missions and we laugh about getting stuck in toilets, but there's a much bigger point going on here, really, isn't there? And we're very proud as people sometimes. We want to think that we can earn our way into God's kingdom and be accepted by God by the things that we do. And the Christian faith says, no, it works the other way around. You come in faith to what Jesus has done for you and you accept his death in your place. It works the other way around. I wonder this morning, do you recognize what you need to do? But Peter's very clear, isn't he, in his speech, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what Jenny and Julie are going to do in a few moments. They're going to be baptized. Their baptism. It's great. I'm standing here. I'm watching them smiling. It's great. I wish you could see their faces. Because their baptism is a symbol of what has already happened in their lives. Let me explain what's going to happen in a few minutes. They'll go down into this water, right into the water and right under the water. It's picture language. It's symbolic language. It shows us, first of all, the death and resurrection of Jesus. The death under the water, the resurrection out of the water. But then it shows us the faith of Jenny and Julia. A new start as they come to faith in Christ. Down into the water, saying goodbye to that old way of living and thinking. Up out of the water, saying, yes, Jesus is my Christ, he's my Lord. Powerful stuff. So let me ask you as we conclude, as we come to baptism in a few minutes, let me ask you this morning, do you recognize what Peter's saying here? Do you recognize why these people got to this point where they weren't just asking a gentle question, hey, Peter, by the way, what do we need to do? This was like a cry from the heart. Because they recognized that without Jesus, they were spiritually lost. And maybe for some of us this morning, it's time to take that first step of faith. Maybe that's what God's saying to some of us this morning. That's what happens when we open the Bible. Sometimes you'll hear God speaking to you. Maybe for some of us this morning, we've been Christians for a long time, but we've never been baptized. Why have you not been baptized? Because Jesus says this is a command. Repent and be baptized. We're going to have another baptismal service pretty soon. There are two or three new other people already speaking about baptism, and that's before I heard about Andrew this morning. Maybe that's what God's saying to some of you. It's time to be baptized. And maybe for some of us this morning, it's time to renew your faith. New start, September, new chapter, new opportunities. You kind of got spiritually cold, and today, let's put a marker down and say, starting again with Jesus. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, here's a prayer that we could use this morning. It's a prayer that we use at the end of our Food for Thought course. You see, it picks up this idea that we're in need of rescue. You can see that there. Simple words, but they put into words what we might want to say to God this morning. It says, I admit that I'm in need of rescue. It says, I don't deserve anything except your anger. Why? Because of our failures and our mistakes and our sins. But now I repent, which is just another way of saying I turn round. Rather than living life to please myself, I'm going to live my life with you as my Lord and Christ. Don't want to live for myself anymore. And then the prayer goes on to say, it says, thank you for sending Jesus. I believe, there's that step of faith, that he died for me. Thank you that I can now see clearly who Jesus is. That's what Peter was doing on the day of Pentecost, showing us who Jesus is, why he came. Please send your spirit to help me follow him, whatever the cost. So here's the great thing about becoming a Christian. Taking that step of faith is the first step. And we take that first step. It's not about trying harder. Let me ask you a personal question. You're sort of here as family and friends, okay? Let's just pretend there's no one else around. But do you think Jenny and Julie have become perfect people? You're not sure? No, is the answer. They haven't become perfect people. That's right. Because what happens when we become Christians is that yes, we're forgiven by God and God sees us as completely forgiven, but then he gives us this promise which Peter talks about in the day of Pentecost, this promise of God's Spirit which comes and lives within us to help us to become more like Jesus Christ. You see, becoming a Christian is not about trying harder. It's not about turning over a new leaf. It's about taking a step of faith and saying, I'm taking the step of faith. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he came and he died in my place. I'm going to take that step of faith. I'm going to make him my Lord and my Christ. And when you do that, God sends his Holy Spirit to live in you, to help you to become more like Jesus. It's a process. So we're going to use this prayer as we conclude. And then Chris is going to come and lead us in the next part of our service. And in a few minutes, we're going to baptize Julia and Jenny. But maybe for some of us this morning, this is a prayer that sums up what we would like to say to God this morning. Maybe you sense God speaking to you. So I'm going to use this prayer. I'm going to pray it out loud. And if it's words that you want to use this morning, or you want to reaffirm your faith in Jesus, why not just pray these words quietly as I pray them out loud? Lord God, my Creator, I confess that I've not put you first in my life, and I admit that I am in need of rescue. I do not deserve anything from you except your anger. But now I repent. I do not want to live for myself anymore. I want to serve Jesus as my Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. I believe that he died for me. Thank you that I can now see clearly who Jesus is and why he came. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me to follow Jesus, whatever the cost. Amen. And if you want to know more and read some more, there's a little booklet entitled Why Jesus. You'll find them at the end of each of the rows of seats. Chris, thanks.
Well, in a moment, Julia and Jenny are going to be baptised. We're going to sing a couple of songs before that, songs that they've chosen, songs that mean something to them as Christians taking part in this baptismal service today. And during the songs and the prayers that follow, the children will come back and join us. But so first of all, let's stand to sing a setting of Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. Thank you. do have a seat, folks. And we're going to pray now for Julia and for Jenny. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Julia and for Jenny. We thank you for all the wonderful ways in which you've touched their lives. We thank you for breaking through by your Holy Spirit and releasing them from the clutches of sin. We thank you that by your death at Calvary, you've put their old life with its entanglement with sin and focus on the world to death forever. We thank you that you've rescued them and that you've called them into your family and given them a new life. And on this, their baptism day, we pray for them. We pray that your Holy Spirit might live richly in them, that they might know your peace, your security, and your grace in their lives. Renew their strength every day, we pray, that they might be strong in their faith. We pray for them as they live out their Christian lives with their family, their friends, their neighbours and work colleagues. May they know your presence and protection as they share their faith. And today, we claim for Julia and for Jenny the promise from your word, which says that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Let this day be a beginning. Lead Julia and Jenny in exciting and wonderful spiritual depths in the coming days and years, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And before Julia and Jenny are baptized, we're going to stand and sing now. My, O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, how great thou art. Let's stand and sing. Amen. Please have a seat. And as Julia and Jenny are baptized, we're going to remain seated, but we're going to sing again that great chorus we've just sung, How Great Thou Art.
Yes, it is. Brilliant. Fantastic. Great. And hopefully you can see, or you will on the screen in a couple of minutes, what's going on down here in the pool. Great day, Julia.
Yes.
Isn't it? There we go. Yeah, you're looking great. There we go. Everybody can see what's happening now, okay? Some people are even waving to you as well. Isn't that fantastic? I'm going to just explain. The children have just come back in. That is really helpful for us to explain for a few minutes what we're going to do, okay? Apart from making Julia and Jenny very wet in a few minutes, which we promised to do, the reason that we're doing this is because they've become followers of Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus did at the start of his ministry, he was baptized, so we follow his example. The second thing, reason that we're doing this is because he commanded us to do it. So we're following the command of Jesus. And the third reason that we're doing this is because it shows that we love Jesus and we want to obey what Jesus told us to do. So I'm going to ask Julia a question. Before I do that, we'd like to give people a verse from the Bible for your baptism. Notice how Chris was praying for you. This verse fits in very well from Psalm 62. Julia, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. An emotional moment being baptized. So we're going to ask you to come and stand a little bit closer to here. I'm going to put the microphone down because it's probably a good idea to do that at this stage. But we have a question for you first of all, Julia. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
I do.
On that profession of your faith, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Big day for Charlie as well, isn't it? You've been baptized by your son as well. And we're just thrilled at your story of faith and what God's been doing in your life and in Julia's life as well. I've also got a verse for you from the Bible. It's from the same psalm, actually. It's from Psalm 62, a little bit further down. Same sense of God's presence on you. It says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. My salvation and my honor depend on God. Trust in him at all times. And that comes from Psalm 62. So same question we have for you, Jenny. Do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
I do.
Well, on that public profession of your faith, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right, as Julia and Jenny and the others go up and get a bit drier, we're going to conclude our service by singing a song that follows on from the verses we've just given, Julia and Jenny, from Psalm 62. After we've sung this song, there'll be some tea and coffee. If you play your cards right, probably a biscuit through that way. If there are... There's cake! Hurrah, there's cake! Can't have a baptismal service without cake. So, I think if you move swiftly, there'll be cake, perhaps I should say. But more seriously, if there have been things that you've heard and listened to and been wondering about during this service, if you'd like to talk to somebody, then I will be around, Adrian will be around, and there'll be a team in the far corner. If you want to go and talk to them, they would love to listen and chat with you. But let's conclude our service. Let's send Julia and Jenny off into a new week. I will bless the Lord forever. I will trust him at all times.